building and defending. In chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we saw how the Jews arose and how they built the broken walls of Jerusalem because they had a mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. And Nehemiah organized them so that there was tremendous teamwork and the project was hastened and God's work made progress. But while you see progress in chapter 3, we also see at the end of chapter 2 how the enemies were not happy with Jerusalem coming up strong, becoming a center of influence in that region. And so in chapter 2, at the closing verses, we saw how Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard and they laughed them to scorn. They despised them and they threatened them. And Nehemiah prayed to God and asked God to protect them. He defied the scorning. He defied the threats of the enemies. Chapter 3 detailed for us the tremendous advancement of God's work. But chapter 4 also tells us the tremendous opposition to retard the work. They meant business for God. Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel, God's people. They are the center of God's witness in the world. It was a significant work that was to be done at the beginning. In those small beginnings, they could not see the glory thereafter, the great work that God was doing through them. But they saw with the eyes of faith and how the Jews rose up to work. The walls of Jerusalem were built at the perils of the builders' lives and their families. And so there are two thoughts we want to consider to show us, firstly, the kind of opposition that Satan will hurl at God's people who tries to do his work. He will try his utmost to thwart that work. And then you see how the saints are to respond. How do godly men fight spiritual battles? God will show to us how they had victory when they fought. And we can learn many precious good lessons from this chapter for spiritual warfare. And how, you see, we are in a gospel work. We are in a spiritual conflict from beginning to end. And we who are living the Christian life is also in a spiritual conflict. Beginning to end, Satan will try to sidetrack us. He will try to cause us to give up. He will cause us to want to succumb. But God wants his people to respond correctly. He wants his people to thrive, to triumph. And so we have good lessons to learn. The enemy's tactics, the saints' response. What kind of opposition did Nehemiah face? Firstly, you see in verse 1 and 7, the rage of the enemy. It was a burning anger. Because when Jerusalem comes out, you'll find that they would be obstructing the major trading alliances that is going on there in the promised land. You notice that Israel is right in the middle and the nations are surrounding them. Because they are right in the middle, you know, difficult to do anything without going through them. And they knew that there is a new kid in the block. They want to make sure that this new kid, you know, don't survive. And so they began by, well, here the verse 1 tells us how there was great indignation. They were fuming mad. It was a burning anger in the hearts of these people. And how did they, that was their response when they heard that the Jews were building. And this anger, right, came to Israel, right, through by way of sarcasm. Right? They came and they were laughing at them. Right? They despised their work. They were trying to cause them to feel that this work is not worth doing. Right? Verse 1 at the end says, they mocked the Jews. Verse 2, it says, what do these feeble Jews, you weaklings, how could you do anything? You don't know how to get a work done. You're not builders. And, you know, you want to build a wall. You're not trained. How can you do this work? And so, Nehemiah admitted that they were a despised group of people. And they knew that they were not professional builders. And then what else did the enemies do? They ridiculed them. They scorned them. Then they began to threaten them. That was the next step. The words of ridicule did not stop the work. They continue. Right? They ignore them. And so now the enemies become more aggressive. Instead of just hurling threats and abuses, now they threaten violence. Right? They would send soldiers or small bands of enemies would come, like guerrilla warfare, to sprung surprise attacks on them to try to thwart their effort. And that was what they would do. And that was what they did. And this is not new. We see this in Israel's modern history. Right? When Israel came back on the land, what did the Arab nations do? These Ammonites, the Ashdodites, what did they do? The Arabians? Well, they all gang up together. Right? You remember in the 1967 war, the 1973 war, the Yom Kippur war? Well, they all band up together with their mighty armies and with their superior numbers. They wanted to raise Israel all the way into the Mediterranean Sea. They wanted to wipe them out. So the enemy was very, very aggressive. And these are the same kind of enemies that Israel was facing. And they are a bunch of untrained, as it were, soldiers. Right? So in order to protect themselves, they had to make sure that they had swords with them. They are not soldiers, they are not trained to fight, but they had to defend themselves. And what else? The enemies not only threaten them, intimidate them, but they also cause them to be discouraged. Right? The strength of the bearers, verse 10 says, of the burden is decayed. There is much rubbish and we are not able to build the wall. Right, Judah admitted when he saw the magnitude of the problem that they were facing. It was big. And they knew that by their own strength, they couldn't do the work. Right? So when the enemies start to threaten, they realize that their lives are in danger. The stake is high. The cost is great. Then they begin to waver. But that was the purpose of the enemy. Right, to cause discouragement, and they are already very tired. Right? Remember, they were working day and night.
52 days.
So in that weariness, the enemy sent discouragement, and the discouragement was greatest at the halfway point. Right, when they begin the work, everybody was very enthusiastic, but halfway through, that is the severest grind. When everybody is weary and tired, then the enemies came. It was the most discouraging time. They had to endure physical toil, mental torment. Then you see also how there were also enemies within the Jews who were not with them in the work, but who were staying nearby. In verse 12, well, they heard what the enemy is doing, how they would, you know, be attacking any time. And so they would come to the Jews and tell them, hey, you know, this is a lost cause. You would surely lose. How can you be on guard 24 hours? No way. Right, so this impending threat and disheartening news again threatened their morale. And then what else did they do? They brought fear to the people. Nehemiah had to speak to the people and said to them that God is with them. They were crippled with fear. And fear is something that can threaten, you know, to cause us to be paralyzed and not be able to do anything anymore. Because we are afraid of the consequences of the losses that we have to bear. And then you see how Nehemiah and the Jews responded to all this opposition. Six different tactics that the enemies use. And what did they do? How could they fight against, as it were, an unseen enemy, right? Satan and his demons. What did they do? Well, the best weapon for spiritual warfare is prayer. Nehemiah in verse 4 said, hear, O our God. He lifted up all his burdens to God. He told the Lord how they were despised and what great difficulty they have to advance the work. The enemies were just too strong. And he prayed to ask God for wisdom. Dr. John Walwood, he made this comment. He says, prayer was a distinct and consistent part of Nehemiah's approach to problem solving. And when faced with Sanballat's demoralizing attack, he immediately asked God for help. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Just like the many imprecatory psalms that we hear, right, that the psalmist would pray that God would rise and judge the enemies. And this was what he did, because they were doing the work of God. And the persecution came so fierce, they could not fight a physical warfare, but they fought through prayer. And what else did they do? They worked harder. When it was most difficult, they did not give up, but they put in extra effort in the work. They focused on the work. They knew what they were doing. They knew that it was the will of God that Jerusalem would rise again from the heaps. And they knew that it had to be done. And they are the instruments that God would use. They were on guard against their enemies. Nehemiah set up a watch day and night they had their swords by them so that they would not succumb to the ambushes of the enemies. And what else did they do? They encouraged themselves in the Lord. Verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. They hung on to the promises of God. They knew in their hearts that God will help them. We have a work to do here, a gospel work that God has entrusted to us. And be prepared for oppositions. The enemy's tactics, the saints' response. Nehemiah and the Jews triumphed amidst great opposition. God gave them the victory as they looked to Him. All glory be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing to us how we ought to wage spiritual warfare. Lord, we thank Thee for this record of how Nehemiah and the Jews had victory. They prayed. They continued to work harder. They encouraged themselves in Thee. They hang on to Thy promises. O God, we ask that Thou would also give us the same vigilance to serve Thee, the same strength and faith in the heart to look to Thee. And most of all, Lord, help us to pray. Teach us to pray, that we may indeed fight a good fight of faith on our knees. We pray that Thou give to us the victory. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.